My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job. There you go.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
How hot is it in there?
It's around 140 degrees.
Hard-working men and women.
Claustrophobics need not apply.
Who earn an honest living.
We have no idea how deep that is.
No idea, and I have no desire to find out.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now get ready to get dirty.
Oh, man.
Coming up on this jam-packed special episode of Dirty Jobs.
Uh-oh.
I like the sound of that.
The pace starts at a crawl and stays there as I revisit some truly laid-back work.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Positions that offer zero room for advancement at companies with super low overhead.
This could be frozen cod sperm slowly melting on me.
So if you have intimacy issues, beware as I squeeze myself into some more tight spaces.
Awful, dude. Awful.
Oh, God. Welcome to Tight Spaces Part 2. If you were a fan of Tight Spaces Part 1, man, oh man, are you in the right place? If, on the other hand, you are among the hundreds of viewers who wrote me long letters expressing your level of freaked outedness over our previous homage to confined spaces and helpless restraint, then you may want to rethink your programming choices for the next hour. The truth is, I get more letters from self-described claustrophobes than all my other anxiety-ridden fans combined. Which makes a certain amount of sense, I suppose, because according to Wikipedia, which is fun to quote because they may or may not be accurate, more people suffer from the fear of being trapped and buried alive than any other phobia ever. Do you suffer from that condition? You're not sure? Well, consider this. The hills of Northern California are covered with abandoned mine shafts left over from the gold rush days. It's true. These nasty little pits of despair are all over the place, most of them concealed by debris and leaves and other stuff that just kind of blows over the openings. Consequently, every year, deer, rabbits, bears, and people fall into these holes, never to emerge again. It's a serious problem. The mine shafts need to be plugged up, but before you do that, somebody has to go in to make sure that nobody's lying there on the ground, helpless, waiting for oblivion. That guy is Ed Winchester and me. But mainly it's Ed Winchester.
So you're gonna be a special name? That is called a McLeod.
A McLeod?
Mm-hmm. You're going to take that McLeod and you're just going to break this stuff off so that we can...
Oh! Are you telling me that Safety Fred just threw his shovel down a 50-foot hole? On some jobs, the area where you're working is tight. But here, the tightest part is just getting to the work in the first place.
Ooh, wow. Hey, come on down a little bit more.
Yeah?
And look to your right.
To my right. Oh, cool. What are we looking at here?
I'm not sure. I would guess they're frogs of some sort.
And there's one here.
Maybe we're about to have a plague.
Good God, man. We're never getting out of this hole.
This is not where I wanted to be, was between your legs.
What the hell? Who's doing that?
That's Troy. I'm coming down.
You're coming down? Oh, God. Ah! Ah! Ah!
Oh, you really know how to spread the misery around, Troy.
Oh, jeez.
Man, look how your shovel's stuck in the ground.
That was awesome.
So
you want to go down in this room? We have a drift off in two different directions. It's actually pretty well developed. So we're going to take a step or two down this way.
We find gold. Let's not block this off just yet.
I mean, we should take a look around because once we seal this up, human eyes will never look at it again.
An old beer can or three.
You really got to want to drink beer all the way down here.
Okay. Now, we just came across something that is really dangerous. See this water here?
Mm-hmm.
You can see that it goes way out there.
That's so clear.
Right.
We're actually looking at the bottom there, aren't we?
Yeah, but is it 50 feet or is it or is it 10 feet?
Right.
If you were to go in it, there's a couple things that could happen. It could release dangerous gases that are trapped by the tension on the surface of the water. But also, if you disturb that silt, the only way you can tell up from down, because you'll be instantly disoriented, is to feel bubbles go across your face. So imagine trying to be that calm when you just went to zero visibility. It's kind of like an avalanche. People die in mines like this all the time. Try to take big steps. There you go.
At the end of the workday, what goes in a tight space must come out.
All right, seriously, how do we get out of here?
This is how it's going to go. It's going to be like this the whole way.
That hurt.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
Rock. That one hurt.
One, two, three.
Don't ever try that.
Psychiatrists will tell you that the real essence of claustrophobia isn't limited to being in a confined space. It's the knowledge that there's no way out. Edgar Allan Poe knew that. That's why the Cask of Amontillado is so daggone scary. Concrete chippers know it too. It's just that if you're a concrete chipper working in the drum of a concrete truck, you can see the exit. It's just that you can't use the exit until you're finished doing the job. And in the case of concrete chipping, that's only slightly worse than being buried alive.
I appear to be in.
All right. Here's your hammer.
Now, how close can I get to the drum?
You're going
to
hear a distinctive. When you hit the drum, you're going to hear a distinctive different sound.
Oh, I'm not going to hit
and
the
when
drum.
You, well, I mean, you kind of got to get to it.
Right.
But I don't want you to follow through with it.
Like
concrete. Good God. How you doing, Mike?
Great. How you doing?
Be doing a lot worse if you were on my payroll.
Concrete chipper. That is one job.
Hey, Mike, that's when you hit the metal. We got some pretty big dents out here.
Oh, crap. I'm sorry about that.
You're tearing up the drum.
I'm sorry. The drum has torn me up.
I found that getting out of a concrete drum isn't as hard as getting in. It's harder.
Hello, help.
Hello.
They think I'm joking. I can't believe it.
Try it again, Mike.
Can't get out of a damn truck.
Out the end and out through the end of it.
Well, that's a hell of a tip.
There's a ladder back there.
Could have used that maybe an hour and a half ago, for God's sake.
A concrete drum doesn't seem like a tight space until you try to get out.
Are you kidding?
Can you get on your back?
On my back?
Yeah.
Sure.
Here, stick your hands up above your head.
All right. Oh, man. Great job, huh? I'm king of the dirt! The other thing about concrete chipping that makes it so claustrophobic is the fact that all your senses are deprived. You're mute, you're deaf, you're pretty well blind in that thing. And the jackhammer, by the way, weighs about 100 pounds. You know what psychiatrists say about that? Nothing. They're psychiatrists. They don't know anything about jackhammers. When we come back, we answer the question, what came first, the fish or the semen?
Then.
See? Nobody had relations up here. We missed it.
Love is in the air, and so is something else.
Urine.
Who's?
People. People are peeing down the shaft.
And later.
You're going to want me to crawl inside this thing, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to stand tall when you can't stand at all working in tight spaces.
Blind as a mole. Stupid job.
Sigmund Freud once argued that something called the birth trauma has rendered all of us latent claustrophobes to one degree or another. Another less famous psychiatrist named Stanislav Grof took it a step further. He suggested that as infants, we all shared a common horrifying experience, that being the sight of a partially opened cervix. I don't know about all that. I just know that people with 30 jobs spend a lot of time in tight spaces. And over the last 5 years or so, I've crawled headfirst into more than a few dark tunnels. True, I don't recall coming across any cervixes, partially opened or otherwise. But I have seen some curious things. One of them was a Coast Guard buoy in San Francisco Bay. I never even knew you could get inside of one of these. And now, I can tell you, you don't want to.
What we call shooting the tube.
Well, what's the actual point of crawling up into this thing?
Anything that obstructs in here will plug up the sound, so it won't go through all the way through that horn.
That's hideous.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
No, it's that bad, man.
Ow.
Okay, completely disgusting. Once again.
No easy way to get this out.
Hey, Mike, where are you going?
I'm pushing a bunch of stuff out with my ass.
You haven't got halfway up there yet?
No, I don't think it's possible, Pat.
You ready for a push?
I'm ready for a push.
Keep going. Get them all the way up.
Oh, that's nice. I'm weighing the tube. I got the blockage. Heads up. All right, so I'm inside a buoy, and I'm trying to get as far to the top as I can. Yeah, I can. Yeah, but... that's as far as we go, I'm afraid. Crap, there's that one little piece of debris there. I can't get it with my light. Oh, now I've done it.
All right, Mike, it should be good.
I can't reach the light. I can't reach the friggin' light. You know what? If you hand me the tool, I could probably get it.
Can't reach the light.
Got it. Tool coming down. Post coming down.
You ready?
Yeah.
Give me your foot.
Safety jacket. Why'd I wear that?
I believe that's what they call the breech presentation. Look, I've been in so many crappy holes over the last 5 years. I sometimes wonder if the people I meet on this show are just making up jobs in order to see if I'll try them. Take the buoy, for instance. Isn't there a tool that could be used for that job? I mean, was it really necessary for me to climb all the way up inside the thing? I'm not saying the guys from the Coast Guard were messing with me. I'm just telling you that after all this time, I've developed a healthy suspicion of all semen. Especially when the job smells fishy. The Legacy is what's known as a catcher-processor vessel, or a floating fish factory. But before her crew can go catch new fish, they have to clean up after the previous haul. All the fish guts, fish fluids, and other fish parts that are thrown away get ground up and pumped into the ocean. And the area around the grinder sump pump needs to be scooped out and cleaned regularly.
I'm going in there to clean out the worst of the worst.
Yeah, the worst.
All right, well, that's another tight space.
Yeah.
Steve is the foreman on the Legacy.
And we do this after we've been up for like 30 hours.
It's a real job, right?
This is a real job, yes it is.
Cleaning around the grinder sump pump is actually a very important job. If it's not done, the pump can get clogged and all the stuff that's supposed to be pumped out will instead get backed up into the processing areas.
That's fantastic. What's so white stuff in here?
Those are actually ears that come out of the fish.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you, Mike.
That looks like brain.
That's actually a cod sperm.
Come again?
It's cod sperm.
Cod sperm?
Yes.
That's the sperm from a single cod?
Yes.
How big is this thing? The size of Kodiak. Here you see little tiny bits of cod sperm. Look at them. They're almost beautiful when the light hits them that way. Oh, it is surprisingly bad.
It is bad.
What makes cod sperm so doggone weird looking?
There's actually people that eat them.
Really?
Yeah, in different countries. They boil it.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, Barsky would eat this. Awful, dude.
Yeah.
Awful.
Very.
I warned you, this show wasn't going to be for everybody. But since you're still watching, you want to see something really awful? Sure you do. Check out Barsky, fulfilling my prophecy. He makes the cod sperm look good. Don't you think? When we come back, we will see if what goes down comes back up.
Then.
That again is what, over 8,000
feet? 8,516
feet.
Over a mile and a half between me and the ground, the whole sky above my head, and not one inch sideways.
I just can't fit through there. Too much wind.
And later.
Why did my light just go off?
More jobs where space is at a premium and everyone's the low man on the totem pole.
Go back over the one I just did and make sure I did it right.
Because when it comes to quality control, I'm the guy you want.
You would be the guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy.
The interesting thing about tight and cramped spaces is sometimes the location in which they appear, often unexpected. Take, for instance, the top of an elevator. You ever been to the top of an elevator, like on top of the ceiling? It's a heck of a place, a little out of the way, kind of like a den of iniquity. It's true, ne'er-do-wells and reprobates will oftentimes congregate on the top of an elevator because it's an out-of-the-way place. Once situated, they will then engage in their illegal and sometimes amoral activities. And can I tell you something? It's disgusting.
A lot of times people use these things for bad things.
Tell me.
Maybe a little drug use. Maybe they had a little relationship up here and they left a little evidence.
Hey, guys, is that condom on the floor?
Yeah.
Right there. See? Somebody had relations up here. We missed it.
Ah. That's a defective product.
At least we didn't come up here while they were using it. That's happened before.
Really?
Yes.
So you walk into the overhead and right in the middle of a little in flagrante delecto.
It wasn't really in the overhead, but it was at a job we were doing. Turn around the corner to our little shanty where we keep our tools, and it's a happy couple getting it on.
Somebody else taking care of their tools in a little
shanty.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
How did they respond?
They actually finished what they were doing.
Is that right?
They didn't even get up and leave. Is another problem that we didn't run in this building that we usually run into?
Yeah.
Urine.
Whose?
People. Usually in those situations, we come in and we put waterproof elevator equipment in.
You've got to waterproof your elevator equipment because people pee on it.
People are peeing down the shaft. All right, this looks a little better.
Good. I'm slowing you down, aren't I?
That's all right. I get paid by the hour.
You're going to make a fortune today, dude. What do we do now?
Run the car up and clean out the pit.
The pit is under us?
Under us. Yes, it is. There you go.
Oh, that's a pit.
That's all the dirt that we swept off the...
Oh, and wait a minute. Your whole pee theory just went up in smoke, man. Can you smell that?
Yeah, it's a little rusty down here, too. Yeah, see the rust?
That's pee rust. This is a very depressing, frightening little place.
Yeah, welcome to my world. Oh, yeah, there's...
Sure, pizza, penny, rat poison. Here's a bill somebody simply didn't want to pay. Uh-oh. Somebody left home without it.
It's usually a 50-50 split also.
Well, it's their credit card. Let me make some calls. See what kind of limit they had. All right. So long, elevator pit.
No doubt about it. Elevators make life in the big city a whole lot easier. But that doesn't mean
they're not disgusting. And I'll tell you something else. Nowadays, most elevators have cameras in them. I got a buddy named Frank, runs building security at a high-rise here in San Francisco, and Frank tells me that the things you'll see people doing in an elevator when people don't think you're watching, very revealing. Anyway, elevators will only take you so far. If you want to take your claustrophobia to new heights, you're going to need a bigger cable.
They've got a big one in Palm Springs, California, and they need to get these two aerial tram cars up and down a mountain. This job taught me that the great outdoors and tight spaces are not mutually exclusive.
And that, again, is what, over 8,000 feet?
Correct, 8,516 feet.
And what are we going to do it with the tram today?
Today, we're going to grease the carriage, which is the traveling wheels on the tram car.
That thing right there.
That thing right up above us that lets the tram roll up and down on the tracks.
Uh-huh.
Each tram car is reliant on the other. So when one goes up, the other is coming down. The shivs, or the wheels, which attach the carriage to the track, keep things running smoothly.
This would be the carriage, I'm fairly sure. And,
what you're going to do is set a hydraulic ram on that
support beam.
Pump up the ram, it'll lift up on the carriage to get the weight off of it so we can grease the pivots.
All right.
Swing your body up underneath in there, yeah.
It's just that first step is such a son of a gun, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ow. Yeah, once again, concussion by safety. I mean, I didn't see this in the vacation brochure, but it's not bad.
Okay, I'm going to hand you this hydraulic ram setup.
All right.
Now you just want to hold that in place until we get some tension against it.
Ram's moving.
No, what we're trying to do is take the tension off of these and this pivot point.
Right.
So the grease will be able to flow. And wouldn't you know, we ran out of grease.
Well, this is one of those awkward moments in television. The boys have gone off to get some more lube, and I've been left dangling from my cable by my lanyard. Well, I've never felt safer. Well, it's definitely a two-man job, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Of course, everything on your safety belt gets hung up.
Of course. Hey, that's all wrong, Pat.
It's all part of the job.
We're heading up to 8,500 feet to change a worn-out shiv at the mountain station. In order to replace the worn shiv, I'm going underneath to loosen the bolt.
That's just, I don't think I can fit in there.
I don't think so either.
I don't think I can get out either. It's not my lungs. Something else is stuck. Nah. I've been in a lot of tight spaces. This is the first one I just can't fit through there. Too much man. Watch old John here. He'll just slide right in. Look at that.
Mike, if you want to come in position over here, you can pull the shiv out.
All right.
Okay, now get over down and hold. Okay.
Replacing a shiv on a tram car. Cold job.
Psychiatrists have yet to come up with a term that accurately describes a person who simultaneously suffers from both acrophobia and claustrophobia, which I think is a little weird because studies have shown that many people who don't want to be buried alive also resist the possibility of falling off of a tall building. Send a psychiatrist up to replace a shiv on an aerial tram, they'll come up with a new term. When we come back, a haunted tube, a lack of lube, and a space so tight, I had to shoot the show myself. Then,
man, that is one dirty tube.
I dirty myself to make dirt less dirty.
That's pretty dirty.
And later,
like threading a needle with a sausage, you know?
Upward mobility is usually measured in dollars. On these jobs, it's measured in inches.
I've been here for 8 hours. I haven't seen a beer. I'm not even sure they make beer here.
Welcome back to the Marine Mammal Center here in Sausalito, California, home to recuperating seals and sea lions and more than a few tight spaces. This is one of those specials where words like favorite actually mean miserable. So with that in mind, I'd like to introduce you now to one of my favorite tight spaces, the inside of a bowsprit. What's that? Never been in a bowsprit before? Well, neither had I.
This one is memorable for a number of reasons. First of all, it's very long and uncomfortable. It's cramped. It's also haunted by an evil demon and full of tetanus. Enjoy.
This is where the crew might have slept because it was the crappiest place on the boat.
This is a crappy place, man. What's this?
This is called the bowsprit. It's a hollow piece of iron that was laid up in 1863, so we have to periodically inspect it.
You're going to want me to crawl inside this thing, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're going to be climbing up in there.
Looking for rust?
Looking for rust. If you find any rust, you need to report it to me.
Isn't that the do-rag I wore?
This is the official do-rag you wore.
You're gonna hear it if you listen to the... Hello? Now you might...
Hey, get out of there. You're bleeding.
You might actually hear that.
Yeah.
Up in there, because we do have spirits on board the vessel.
What are you talking about?
There were lives born and lives lost on board this vessel.
You're telling me the ship's haunted?
Yes.
Okay, good. So it gets better and better. It's a small, confined space full of razor-sharp pieces of steel
and spirits.
And evil presence.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Look at that. That's a miserable... That's some of that razor-sharp steel we were talking about. Right here, already, I found rust.
Well, you have to come back and fix it someday.
I'll make sure to do that.
Uh-oh.
I didn't like the sound of that.
You didn't rip that new sweatshirt we gave you, did you?
Ow.
Why'd my light just go off?
Well, those spirits, Mike.
Oh, man, there's rust everywhere here, George.
Oh, you're going to need to spend another 3-4 days in here.
You don't want to stick around and do that for us, huh, Mike?
No, I don't.
Great. There goes my light again. Son of a... Dirty rotten... Son of a... Light. All right, my light's back on, you schizophrenic orb.
Send some of this back down your way.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. This is looking pretty ugly.
It's getting worse up here, too. All right, I've come as far as I can go.
Ow! Ow! My beautiful new sweatshirt.
Stop your whining.
I think the spirits have me, George.
You're absolutely right. This tube is haunted.
I can read the soles of your shoes now.
What do they say? Get me the hell out?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a haunted tube.
Now, some people might say that crawling around the inside of a bowsprit to look for pieces of rust is another one of those made-up jobs. I know that because I've said that. But I'll tell you what, crawling inside of a kiln that sterilizes dirt in order to complete a welding task, that's a real job. And it's really tough. And the guy you're about to meet, Heath, is really good at it. In fact, when you see Heath work with the welding torch, I think you'll agree that his skills and mine are almost indistinguishable. Okay, in a rotary kiln. This is your office?
This is my office.
Can I just slip behind you and watch you do what
you
do?
Yes, you can.
Basic welding 101. I mean, are there any
tips? Just keep it in a straight line.
That's the extent of your advice?
That's the extent of my advice.
All right.
You can either do this one here, or you can go back over the one I just did and make sure I did it right.
Oh, yeah, because when it comes to quality control, I'm the guy you want.
You would be the guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy. It should fire there, right? Uh-oh. Stop. See, the problem is when you pull this down, it's just as dark as night. You can't see a thing.
Oh, yeah, I can see stuff.
Morse code.
Blind as a mole. That's it. Great. That's a stupid job.
Yahoo. Back.
Not bad for your first time.
It's not my first time.
Uh-huh.
God, it's a mess. I tell you what, man, welding's real talent, isn't it?
It can be.
You already got your mask in place there.
Oh, yeah.
After welding the kiln, it's time to clean out the afterburner. This is where the dirty stuff that's been removed from the dirt gets incinerated.
Man, that is one dirty tube.
Pretty dirty.
Now, to be clear, not all tight places are dirty, and not all dirty places are tight. But when you find a place that's dirty and tight, well, leaves me all choked up. When we come back, is it really necessary to wait to the end of the day to enjoy a cold beer? Yes, as a matter of fact, it is.
Ben, people really get in here?
Now you're moving.
You'd expect a job at a nut house to be crazy dirty.
There you go, now you can just kind of lean on back.
Yeah, it's like a picnic now.
And later.
You want me to get inside of the gigantic blender and clean it?
Your best bet is to straddle that shaft.
Jobs where it's hard to get a word in edgewise, or for that matter, anything else.
Am I going
No, there's no way I'm going the wrong way. Am I going the wrong way, Dwight?
Yeah, it's going the wrong way.
I honestly don't know what's more difficult. Squeezing myself into a tight space or attempting to remove myself from a tight space. All I know is that at the end of the day, tight spaces can work up a powerful thirst in a fella. In the past on this program, I've tried to acknowledge the link between hard work and a cold beer. And honestly, I always hear something about it, something not so good. I understand, and I don't want to make trouble, but I do want to take this opportunity to point out that if I'm going to be sent to a beer factory for the express purpose of cleaning out a 140-degree Lauterton with a squeegee, there ought to be something waiting for me, cold and frosty, at the end of the day. Something with my name on it. It's just a theory.
What the hell is this?
All right, so what's the deal?
We squeegee it out.
You go inside the thing.
Yep.
How hot is it in there?
It's around 140 degrees.
Squeegee first. Oh, crap. I'll fix that when I get down there. I'm going in. It's kind of warm. Where I'm sitting. You know what I mean? Like that. Threading a needle with a sausage, you know? Oh.
Okay. All right. It's warm. It's hot. I broke the squeegee. Sorry, Dave. I can fix it. I'm handy with things like this. All right. All right, it's pretty simple. Push the grain. Back down in the hole.
One of the most important tasks of making beer is keeping the brewing equipment clean and sanitized.
I've been here for 8 hours, and I haven't seen a beer. I'm not even sure they make beer here.
Because contamination by bacteria will not only make the beer taste bad, it'll make you sick. Of course, cleaning out 140-degree Lauterton can easily dehydrate you, which can make you sick as well. No matter, it's all for a good cause. A clean, refreshing brew for thirsty beer connoisseurs all over the country.
Stupid John.
Nobody wants warm beer, at least not in this country. So to keep the beer cold, somebody's got to jam themselves into a cramped, miserable place and work to the point of dehydration doing what needs to be done. That's the cost of the finer things in life, including walnuts. In California, I don't know if you knew this, but walnuts, they don't grow looking like walnuts wind up looking. They're covered with hair. And when they fall off the tree, they land in the dirt and they get dirty. And nobody wants their nuts covered with hair and dirt. At least not in this country. So, once again, somebody's got to roll up their sleeves and jam themselves into a miserable location and do what must be done.
In this case, the job was at a walnut farm, cleaning a part of the machine that cleans the walnuts.
No.
Its nickname says it all. They call it the black hole.
Okay, how does one get in? Really? Ow. Ah. Ow. This better not be a made-up job, man. People really get in here?
Now you're moving.
There's nowhere to stand, man.
All right, give me that flat little hoe.
That's why it's small.
From fermented gunk to this dry, crusty crud, these little nuts create a lot of dirt.
There you go, Nate. You can just kind of lean on back.
Yeah, it's a picnic now. Do these need to be razor sharp like that?
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, there you go. Beer, nuts, and tight spaces, all jammed into one act. Doesn't get much weirder than that. Then again, when we come back, I'll be shooting sticky goo from a giant hose over the lush and rolling hills of Southern California. Sound like fun? It's not. And later.
It's hard to work the shaft when the hose is tight.
Even a job you don't love can leave you head over heels in tight spaces.
Oh, this is super comfortable.
My preoccupation with tight spaces has less to do with the fact that I'm often in one and more to do with the fact that I can't seem to avoid them. They normally present themselves at the end of a long day in the form of a pit or a hole or a, over here, Doug, a disgusting nook or cranny. Sometimes a holding tank full of goop. The goop in question, in this case anyway, is something called guar gum mixed with green mulch, which I'd been squirting all over the hillsides of California for the purposes of erosion control. At the end of a very long day, I learned that guar gum, with respect to cleanup, can't rub itself off.
You want me to get inside of the gigantic blender with a hose and clean it?
We've got to get all the material out so we don't contaminate the next job.
The shaft is very slippery.
Your best bet is to straddle that shaft.
Like this?
You got it. And then you just kind of inch your way back towards the back.
Over top of these razor-sharp things here.
Blades.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Don't slip. Don't slip. Don't slip. The first blade pulls the whisker away from the face. The second blade pulls it further still. And the third blade cuts it flush.
Do you see all those squares?
I see many squares. It's like the Hollywood squares in here.
You have to get every single one of them.
Crap.
How you doing? Are you getting it all?
No, it's like hardened on here like some sort of brain matter. Hey, look at this.
That's the guar.
Terrible job. I mean, you can't get it all, can you?
You have to. There you go. All right. Yeah.
You might have noticed that Doug Glover was with me every step of the way down there in the guar gum holding tank. The truth is, on dirty jobs, there's always somebody with the camera just a few feet from me. But what you're about to see just might be the epitome of dirty jobs, tight space cinematography. Because never before in the history of this program have so many full-grown men followed me into such a tiny space to perform such a thankless, soul-deadening, self-defeating act of Sisyphean drudgery. I call it a blending of misery and camaraderie. Think of it as commisery. Welcome to the cool confines of a giant turbine deep in the bowels of the Rocky Reach Hydroelectric Dam in Wenatchee, Washington, otherwise known as Land of the Giants.
All right, so this is the crew. It's Jeff and Jody and John and Dwayne and Vince.
Dwayne is 6'3". Vince is 6'6".
Feet first into the hole.
It's freezing down here.
6'3 Dwayne and 6'6 Vince have to work in a space that's 3.5 feet tall.
Ah,
That goes up, right? Am I going the... No, there's no way I'm going the wrong way. Am I going the wrong way, Dwayne?
Yeah, should... it's going the wrong way.
It's hard to work the shaft when the hole's as tight.
See how that does.
No, that's what's up my ass. It's your butt. Damn it, Doug. For the life of me, I can't figure out what I'm sitting on, and then it starts to move, and I'm like, no!
Is it coming out, Mike?
I got one of the nuts off.
Oh, man.
Felt that on my foot, Mike. Well, is it any wonder you've got it halfway up my colon?
That section loose, Mike.
Okay.
That's it.
Vince?
Coming. Get it, Mike.
I must say this has far exceeded my my expectations.
So were your expectations high or low?
I always keep my expectations low, but you actually... brought them even lower with your weirdly understated way of just saying we're going to go down there and pop this thing off and then come back.
We could blame it on the help we brought down in here with us.
So this is the stuff we're replacing. I see it now. Oh, this is super comfortable. That's good. This is the most tedious, time-consuming jack job I've seen in a while.
Yep. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Spread too thin, Dwayne.
Man.
Can we start cussing? Can you guys edit out some cussing?
You can cuss, yeah. I don't care anymore.
F***ing hard and f***ing we're going to come out of here one way or another.
We really don't have any choice. We're going to start cussing.
Get f***ing here and get it out. Yeah, this high over by you guys.
Yeah, well, your side's pulling it up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, baby.
All right, now that should be the last one.
Now there's six in another lantern ring and six more rows.
Shut up. See what I mean? Commisery. The thing that happens when grown men bond through hard work. When adversity leads to bonhomie. When drudgery is met head on with laughter. When one fella accidentally farts on another fella's foot and is met with nothing but a sheepish grin or a high five. Commisery. Coming to a tight space near you. Thank you for watching, and stay lubricated, my friends. This business of keeping the show on the air, no longer really sure if it's as important to me as it used to, but we're going through the motions, and if you could do the same, I'd be obliged. That means you go to discovery.com/dirty jobs, you suggest something awful, I come out and I do it, my friends like Doug here no longer speak to me. Say something, Doug. See, he won't speak to me anymore. Discovery.com/dirty jobs when you have a moment. I'd be grateful. And by grateful, I mean horrified, but these days the words are interchangeable. Not even one word from you. Nothing. That's enough.
Here it comes. Can you reach it?
No.
Oh, how about now? Oh, come on, reach it. Lean in. Come on.
I used to do this with my younger brothers. Only I'd use food.
You want your camera? You want it? You need it. Come on. You want your camera? You need it.